Cause you can smell, it smells like a campfire down here almost. Or it smells like when the, Dismal Swamp catches on fire. It's got that smell. But then, yeah, it's nowhere near as bad as I believe that it is up there. Cause we have, reduced visibility, which is interesting. But,
I think somebody said it was like this afternoon, it was like 3/4 of a mile. The visibility. Because it was like, you know, this morning was like not too bad. I mean, you know, there was some smoke in the air, but it wasn't really bad. And then like about, I noticed around like noontime, I looked out my window. I'm like, it's awful fucking yellow out there right now.
See a bottle.
It's just, yeah, it's just like, it's a haze that's right down to the ground. You know, smoke right down to the ground almost.
Yeah, they canceled like a lot of activities here. Like my daughter's swim team couldn't meet today because it's outdoor today now. She's in the summer swim. And they're like, we can't tomorrow, hopefully.
Yeah, like I said, when I ran out from my errands, I didn't see a whole lot of people walking around or out or anything.
Advice to everybody to stay home, right?
Yeah, that's what they're saying now, yeah. Like stay inside and don't keep your windows closed. I'd actually throw, well, like I said, during my errands, I actually threw on a mask in the car, which, you know, looks stupid as hell, but like I was saying, you know, it looks like that smell is like overpowering when you're out there for a while and just.
Yeah, I was also mentioning that, Barb, wondering if more people were wearing masks again.
Well, I think for this, you know, even if it does a little bit, that's still better than nothing, you know? Well, I realize it's, you know, if you got a loose fitting mask on, it isn't doing a hell of a lot.
The statistics actually showed that, you know, wearing the mask helps prevent issues with allergies. I assume that it would help, you know, in this situation.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was watching the news, there was a lot of people with masks on and stuff, but I was the only one, in my errands, I was the only one that I saw with one on, but.
Did it leave a film on? Is your mask white or black?
My mask is black, so.
No, oh, you wouldn't be able to tell, I guess, if it left a film on there.
Yeah, I'll put it on in a couple of days. If it smells smoky, then it did something.
Everything's going to smell smoky in a couple of days, isn't it?
Everything probably smells smoky now.
I was going to say, pretty much now, you know, because. You know, this morning we did have the windows open in the house and stuff because it was, you know, it was nice and cool out. Everything. And, you know, all of a sudden I was upstairs in my room and I came downstairs. I was like, ah, yes, the smoke smells here. This is the upstairs doesn't have windows that open. So they've all got air conditioners in them.
That's something, man. That is something. All right. Damn it. I gotta. What am I doing here?
What
am I doing, Alan?
Probably starting a show since it's close.
I'm you doing the wrong thing. That makes more sense. Let's wake up this computer. This SSD computer.
What did it shut itself off?
Oh, man. 1 second. Hold on. It shut itself off. Why did it shut itself off?
Because you kicked the plug out?
That's what stuck in the throat. You know, I got some water in the basement this past week. Last week from all the rain and stuff, so. I think it must have shut itself off when I had to unplug one of the laptops. I didn't know it was that one to put in the blower that they gave us to evaporate the water. Because usually, since we're waiting for this thing to start up, usually I just suck it up with my wetback. But
how much water did you get down there? You couldn't suck it up with a wetback.
I could suck it up with a wetback if I had a wetback. Because my daughter's boss was having issues at one of his places with water on the floor. I don't, you know, I couldn't get an answer from her as to whether it was like just a little bit of condensation all the time, or whether it was actual like an inch of water or something. And he was trying out different solutions. He was going to rent a kind of a blower or a fan thing or whatever it was that's close to the floor. He wanted to see a wet vac. I get he never had a wet vac before, so he wanted to try it out before he bought it. And my daughter asked if he could borrow ours. And I was like, sure. You know, that was 2.5-3 weeks ago. And I'm still waiting to get it back.
Forever.
Yeah, so that's why I had to break
out.
You'll
never see it again, don't worry.
Yeah, I hope. And you know what? I wanted it back like around Memorial Day weekend because it was raining really hard over here. And I said, you know, if I can get back because the rain's coming for the weekend. And then she called me back that weekend. She's like, he forgot to bring it. He's sorry. But he said, if you want to go out and rent a shop vac from like Home Depot, he'll reimburse you. And I was like, rent a shop vac at Home Depot? I can't imagine doing that because it seems like for the price that you would rent it for, you could buy one. They're not that expensive.
Yeah.
Have them buy you a new one?
No. I'm waiting to get mine back.
Let's see. You should just went out and bought one and then charged for it.
Yeah.
And did you rent it?
But, you know, quite honestly, that shop vac is so old, I could probably use getting a new one.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I guess maybe Joel's not showing up tonight now.
He seems to be in the audio test right now.
Oh.
Along with Mimic Gorkin. Over that. Whatever that is.
Okay, now let me see. What do I need to do? Oh, yeah, that helps.
Let's try this again.
So you got her pregnant, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
Boom.
All right.
So they fixed this?
I don't know, Joel. Last week it was just Pat and I, and we had absolutely no problems.
Well, that's good. Last week, we had one of our major clients was having registration issues, so we had one of those week-long deals where we would all get on a Zoom session during registration monitoring servers. Yay me.
Did it all work out good?
Yeah, they did an upsize over the weekend, and that seemed to cure it.
That's good.
Hopefully. It went okay today. They had the biggest group since last week, so 700 register all at once. See, the hard part with this one is they got campuses all over the country. They're not like a DeVry, but they're a kind of a nationwide nursing school kind of deal.
Cool. All right, let's start the show. This is 1007. Yeah. Damn, 1007. And that sounds... We're just blowing through the shows. All right, here we go. 1007.
That's staying power.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Cockroaches. Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Oh, showtime!
Don't be hating on my household attire, okay? I don't go to Walmart like this.
Are you making egg foo young in the kitchen?
Yes, he does.
I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's fact.
like the cats chicks to get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are linking bad. For the stream link, go direct to dlmgs.org. And ICChallengeAnalytics.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1007 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Alan.
Hello, everyone, from the smoky Northeast.
We have Pat.
How's it going, man?
We have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Yeah,
we have Joe.
We maybe.
Well, he was here a little bit ago. Anyway, just want to say, Pat, I very much enjoyed the hard drive videos. Not hard drive. Why can I never remember the name of your band?
Hardcover.
Hardcover. I very much enjoyed them. The only thing is, like, I can hardly see you in the background sometimes.
That's because you got to put the camera somewhere, you know?
Yeah. But no, man, you guys sound great. That was really enjoyable. You got a tour around here, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, they drive all the way down to Norfolk.
Yeah. For something in the water festival.
Pottsville was far enough, thank you.
But good stuff.
So I think Alan mentioned it, how smoky it was. We're getting a little bit of the smoke too, but not near as much as you guys are.
Yeah, it's very smoky out here.
Yeah, for us, it's just like hazy in the distance. That's about it.
Are we already recording? Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we already introduced you, man. You weren't here, but that's okay.
My
dad called because I'm supposed to be going out to Florida this week.
Oh, cool.
And I got the in-laws here right now, so if I don't respond, it's because one of them jumped out here to talk to me real quick.
All right.
But, I was telling my dad, I got a phone call for a potential job as a contractor on a one-year contract at $77 per hour, roughly at full-time, down to $160,000 per year.
Okay, let's go out. I kind of was asking, wondering. That's
kind of hot.
Yeah, hopefully there's potential to become permanent, but...
There is. At the end of the 12 months, there's the potential for either a 12-month extension or to be permanent. And I already made sure that the contracting company has health benefits, because I can't do without the health benefits because of my daughter.
Yeah, but you're probably going to have to pay the full freight on those.
Potentially, but you know what? It's better than not having it.
This is true.
And if they're paying me, like, that much more than my current company is. My only issues there would get to be that I don't like hourly. Now, I know you can make more money with hourly, but it's also possible that somebody in your chain of command suddenly decides that they don't like you. The next thing you know, you're getting 12 hours a week.
Yeah. That could potentially be bad.
It's a tough one, isn't it, though? Because right now you got stability and security.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're not going to fire me from my. But here's the things that's going on with my current position. I mean, I'm fairly secure where I'm at because I have knowledge almost entirely across the board. There are a couple of people that are specialized that have more specialized knowledge in specific areas of what I do than I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been leading this team since it started, all that jazz. Right now, our manager in New York is really, really pushing for everybody to come back 3 days a week, 8-hour shifts, like the full 8-hour shifts. And my entire second shift doesn't see the point in being there after 5 o'clock, other than one guy who doesn't want to show up until 5 o'clock. And I can understand their point. You know, the place is empty at that time, and I can also understand his point that, you know, the pandemic is over and people should be coming back to the office. By 8, he actually would prefer, you know, 5 by 8, but the company policy is 3 by 8. So pushing on that, and I've already had one person quit and another person that is going to get fired before he actually comes in and does the 3 by 8 type of regular basis. That's okay. I don't like him anyway.
That's 3 days on in office, right?
3 days in the office, 8 hours, eight to nine hours.
Okay.
And then, like, at least one other person that is going to be going back on maternity leave a little earlier than she had wanted, and is going to be gone for another 3 months. So,
Well,
you know who gets to take up the slack as I keep losing more people to this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's like now the good thing for us is it's not really impacting me and losing any jobs or anything, but they did close the office that was open down in Florida down by Rich is now gone. They now closed that office. Most of the people that were working there just continue to work from home after the end of the pandemic, because our company really says, you know, they said that you don't have to go into the office if you don't want to.
Right. Well,
so
that's one of the major things that bothers me about the whole thing. I've probably mentioned it before is, you know, when we first started working from home, all they wanted to talk about was how we didn't lose. Right. And now they're like, you're more productive in the office. We need you back in here. Got to build that teamwork and those leadership roles. And it's like, really? Which is it? Find a bullshit am I supposed to lead?
The old adage that you're more, I mean, for some people that might be true. Like if you were an entry level position, it might be a better idea for you to be in the office.
There are some grown-ass adults.
But exactly.
That,
I mean, that's the thing.
Absolutely do need somebody standing over them and watching them, or they won't do shit. Those are the people that I don't need on my team, though.
Yep. Well, that's like now, see, here's a great thing, too, that this monitoring we've been doing for this registration, if we were doing it in the office, it would probably be, you know, a pain in the butt because you go home at 5, you go grab some food, then you turn around, come back in the office for it. You know, now it's just like, go downstairs, get some food, relax a little bit, go back up to your office and you're online ready for that duty. It's, you know, the potential, like, and here's another good example too. It's like I had a doctor's appointment, Monday at my sleep doctor, slacked the team. Hey, I've got a doctor's appointment. It's local, so I don't have to hit the freeway. So I'll be in and out, you know, out for about an hour. And I was about right. You know, it took me about 45 minutes at the doctor's office, to get through all the things. You know, they came in, did my blood pressure and all that stuff. So, you know, that's good, but. You know, because it's a pain in the butt, you know, to do the commuting. It just is.
Yeah.
So.
Well, my boss has some fair points when it comes to people's excuses on why they can't.
Right.
You know, come into the office. It's like daycare. Okay. Well,
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, daycare is an added cost, but you know what? That was how we did things before, and you've always had to figure it out for all of time, so guess what? It's a part of the job. Deal with it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I understand that.
It's like I saw someone post that there's a shortage of childcare, and I'm like, you know, I remember a time where you didn't go out and dump your kids off at a childcare provider, and you just worked out your schedules.
also remember a time where a single income family could actually support an entire household.
Not in this family, but yeah, I mean, the, you know, that, you know, maybe when my mom was around when I was young, true, but, you know, but either way, like when, early on in my career, right after Luke was born, we just changed our schedules, you know. My wife started working second shift. I worked first shift.
Well, and, you know, and why so we just worked it out. Schedules? Why didn't you use daycare?
Because we didn't want to pay for it.
Yeah, well, honestly, that was a choice, honestly, number one. Number right. two, yes, it is extremely expensive.
Yeah.
Right. Also, and well, I can get that. But the thing is, you know, when your company says that, there's a bunch of other companies out there that'll hire you for remote work.
Yeah.
For doing essentially the same job. So it's like, come on, what do you want? You want happy, dedicated employees, or you want them jumping ship to these other places because you think they have to be in the office?
Right.
Remote
right.
work is not impossible to get right now, but remote work is paying about 20% less because they're remote work. Now, that doesn't necessarily work for me, but I could see where that would work for like a two income family. But like my wife, she used to work back in the day. And when we had our first kid, she worked. When we had our second kid, she worked. But as daycare got more expensive, it was actually more economical for us to have her stay home and watch the kids. So,
yeah, that's the same thing that happened with us too. Absolutely, yeah. You're right. It was.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's gonna be like, you know, you have when you have both people working, you have two cars, two sets of work style clothes. You know, if you still have to dress up for work, you know, I had one job where I had to do that, and that's when I worked doing IT support. We're talking mid to early 90s. I was installing computers for a company that was doing the contract for the Ohio Bureau of Workman's Comp at the William Green Building in downtown Columbus, and I had to wear a tie every day, even though I was basically, you know, picking up crusty 286s, replacing them with 386s and 486s, and by the end of my day, I usually had dirt on my shirt because, you know, who cleans their fucking desk? Because desks in offices are gross generally. But, you know, so it's like, you know, then worked at Columbus State, we were allowed to wear jeans and a t-shirt. Nobody cared. And that's what we did. You know, about the only time we dressed up is like maybe when there was an in-service day. We at least put a collared shirt on in those days, you know, but no tie, you know.
Right. Well, at my current job, I used to do slacks and button-down shirt.
Right.
And I kept a tie with me just in case. But, yeah, since we started going back to the office, I mean, for the longest time, I was the first one back in the office. And then, you know, I got the exception so I could stay home for a little. I just wear blue jeans and a polo.
Yep.
I eventually will switch back to slacks. But I got real used to not having to spend all day Sunday ironing clothes.
Oh, yeah.
I really don't want to.
That'll do it, man. That'll do it.
Or then you have people like Dan who hasn't had a haircut or a beard trim since before the pandemic.
That's right. Yeah, I remember when I like the school district, we just had to wear. They started off with having us wearing like a shirt and tie, and then like a year or two later, it was like, "Nah, we're just going." Jeans and a nice collared shirt, you know, like a nice shirt.
Yeah, heck.
Not necessarily, not like a t-shirt, but you didn't have to dress business professional. And then when I got the job down here, it was kind of like the same thing. They started off where you had to wear a collared shirt with a tie, and then they were like, we're just going to have casual Friday every day of the week, you know.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Like I, the one time I did have to wear a tie for more than, you know, for 40 plus a week is when I was working at Meijer as a cashier, and I had a shirt and tie on every day. And then before I quit the job at the West Side store when I was in college, I worked in the bakery as a bakery clerk. And then again, I had to wear a vest and a tie every day to work, even though I'm sitting there in a back room washing dishes, not in front of people.
Well, another reason that
didn't make a difference. Did you
know?
That,
oh, yeah.
That I was doing the whole tie thing, or well, doing the whole nice shirt and slacks thing, was because I was trying to be, I was trying to move up into management.
Well, yeah.
And now put two more people over me before I can get to a management level. So. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm an individual contributor. You've made that really, really apparent.
Yep. Yeah, I'm just glad I don't have to shirt and tie. No, heck, I wore shorts and a t-shirt. Granted, I only came on cam when it was I didn't go on a client-facing cam this week. We just had an internal call. We were here while we're watching the servers. We're talking about sci-fi and stuff.
out here in the garage, I'm wearing an A shirt and some basketball shorts because you know what?
Yep.
I work out here and it's 100 degrees. Actually, it's probably like 90 something. You know what I mean?
Yep. It cooled down here. It was like close to that last week, a couple days, but it's now, I think in the 70s, maybe low 80s this week in Columbus, so it's not too bad.
It's still so weird that Canada's burning.
Yeah. Yeah, I think most of the smoke is hitting over where Pat and Alan are living.
Coming right through here.
Yep. We got a little bit. You can kind of see it off in the distance. It's like, it's weird. It's like it looks like a midsummer's 90% humidity day, but it's low humidity and low temperatures. But that's what it looks like. If you look off in the distance, you see all that haze from the smoke.
It's yellow over here.
Yep. Well, yeah,
yellow,
we got a little bit of that too.
Orange sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know of a couple of YouTubers had to evacuate their home and are still making videos. Whatever hotel they ended up at, they're making.
Yeah, then I saw at least one YouTuber wearing that. I guess Dyson brought out some sort of filtered thing.
Oh yeah, it's like a headset type thing, and it wraps around your head. Yeah,
yeah. You look like Bane, man.
Yeah, I saw somebody reviewed that. They took it on a plane trip, and it was like, you know, the thing only lasts like an hour and a half to begin with. So you basically had to plug in the entire time to use it.
Didn't some graphics card company put out one too that had like LEDs and filtered air and all kinds of Bluetooth speakers? Was it NVIDIA?
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember seeing something like that. Yeah, I don't remember who it was. I do remember seeing something like that coming out.
But then you have the new elephant in the room, the Apple Vision Pro.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, people are kind of raving about the reviews for that and the demonstrations that came out and how great that is going to be going forward.
Right.
I hope it pushes everybody else to get that style of AR out there.
Yep. Well, you know, $34.99 is just, and plus the added cost of the Zeiss lenses I would need because I wear glasses all the time, you know, and I don't do contacts.
Other companies will jump on the train because I'm not paying the Apple tax.
Did you say $34.90?
$34.99. The Apple Vision Pro
from Apple.
Yep. Well, and it's not just AR too. Like for example,
VR if you get the cover.
Yeah, well, there's no cover. It basically,
Well, it's polarizing, that's right.
Right, well, no, it you don't see through it. What it does
is... It's a screen.
Yeah, the front has a screen on it. The front of the goggles has a screen. And when you look up, like say you look up, somebody taps you on the shoulder and you look over and look at them, it will change what's showing on the screen to basically a video of your eyes.
Yeah, that's what confused me.
Yeah. So it's a little weird, and creepy. But you're supposed to be able to do things like I guess that they're working a deal with Disney Plus. Like, for example, say you're watching a Marvel movie, all right? So like, all around the screen could be like decorated like Tony Stark's computing system or something like that. No, not quite the same though.
Well,
it really
you can get
is
the whole
right.
around the screen that looked right. like a movie theater or like you were Ant-Man or crazy things like that.
But yeah, I mean there's a lot of that in it. And from what everyone's saying, it's better than any, you know, granted, you know, we're the week of WWDC, so it's not, we're not getting honest impressions. We won't get honest impressions until it's actually out
in
to where people can buy it. Right. For those rich people that can afford to buy it.
Who's gonna buy this? I mean,
$3,500? Somebody rich.
But I mean, the practicality of it. What? Go ahead, Alan.
Well, there's that. It's toys. It's sort of toy right now, but people will buy that because you figure, you know, you load up a MacBook or something, and you're already at the $2,700 mark.
Yeah, if you have a loaded one,
or you want to go to. Well, yeah, but it's companies that'll pay for this stuff too. But like, people pay that for a MacBook,
right?
You know, that's fully loaded. So it's
people
not,
pay
it's not
over
a company,
over $1,200 for an iPad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
if we look
it's
at
not uncommon to say that somebody's going to go, well, this is just going on my card anyways, so I'm going to buy it.
Right.
We're just looking at productivity. You know, you can have, if they set it up right, three screens in front of you, four screens in front of you.
As many as you want.
Rotate through whatever you need to be able to do, and it could potentially, you know, improve how you do your job.
As long as it's in 2-hour chunks, because that's all the longer the battery lasts.
that's what USB-C is for.
Yep. See, I'm skeptical about this because number one, it's not virtual reality, so you're
not
supposed to augment
right?
your reality, and it looks you look ridiculous in it.
I agree.
Without having the benefits of virtual reality.
Even if you're walking around your house, which you can do with it, you have the battery sticking out of your back pocket, and it's like, to me, it just feels dorky as hell.
The cost of a Mac, you know, a MacBook or an iPad or anything, that's a lot more functionality that the general person uses. At their fingertips, with those applications. And this thing, like,
well, so supposedly,
it's
I mean,
such
I,
a
like
niche
said,
audience.
I saw a review of, what was the guy's name? I don't want to say Marcus, but I don't think that's the
MKBHD.
Right. Yeah, I think so. And basically, it has some sort of function that if you look at your MacBook, it will, it'll take all the stuff and put it, you know, blank the screen on your MacBook and put it up in front of your face. That's an interesting thing to do because most of the people who are going to buy this are probably going to have a MacBook already. So
yeah, probably.
But I will also say that, you know, AR and VR have been around for a while and they haven't really taken off the way anybody thought that they would.
True. Well, consider that Google had the Cardboard and then they added the Daydream headset and those are both gone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a thing.
Google got rid of theirs, and then there's the Oculus.
They had Glass, too.
Right. Well, Glass was never the hype that it came out. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't know because I didn't have the $1,500 to spend on that either.
Me either. But
yeah,
think about it, what it actually was. I mean, the original commercial for it showed it as very much an AR with, you know, things popping
correct.
Up
well,
in your
that's
field
what
of view
it was.
And pictures
yeah.
and things like that. Yeah, but it's instead of being all over your field of view, it's just in that top corner and you might get notifications. And that was essentially what they did with that.
Yeah.
Notifications.
They still had a better form factor for AR, though, in my opinion. You know. Just because it was a whole lot lighter. I mean, that's the thing, too. I've heard some people say, oh, it feels really light on your head. And then I've heard some that said it feels heavy. So, to me, it would probably be heavy. You know,
I assume somebody that wears gas glasses all the time isn't going to have a problem with it.
Yeah. If you're wearing the big old clunky things, yeah. Or snow goggles.
Does it work with Linux?
No. Of course not. Of course not. Works, I mean, come
it,
on.
It only works with Mac.
Of course, well, yeah.
And itself. I mean, because essentially it is its own computing device.
No, but they want you to buy another device.
Well, how do you set it up? You have to have it connect to the Apple iCloud stuff, right?
I believe it may be very much like the Apple Watch, and I think you have to have an iPhone to do that because you have to scan your face, I think. So,
yeah, well, they were saying that some of that can be done in the store, too.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. Yeah. Right.
Again, the people who would seem to be interested in this would probably be interested in virtual reality. And
they're going to have an Oculus. They're,
yeah, they're going to have like all those other things. Now, as a niche in that niche, maybe, or businesses, I could see like – and I know that there's – I've seen stuff like – you know, if you're an engineer or a mechanic or whatever, you have the, glasses with the augmented reality and you look at certain things and it would highlight different things. And I can see it in an industrial, you know, type.
Where they're a doctor.
But
like
for
the
general
surgery.
Consumer, like.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
It's definitely not in the range of, in the price range of a toy, at least not in my opinion.
I don't think so either.
Personally, if I wanted to try mixed reality, I'd go buy the Meta Quest 3, which is a whole lot cheaper.
Yeah.
It's only $500, so it's like, you know, and it's got cameras in the front to do some of the same things too.
Honestly, either way, if you spend the $500 or you spend the $3,500, I mean, you're going to use it a couple of times and then you're going to let it collect dust.
Possibly, yeah. Apple's not released the price costs on the lens inserts that I would need to have. Meta Quest 3, I believe, also has the same kind of prescription inserts. They're $100.
You can get some measurements. I mean,
right.
You should be able to go to a lot of your glasses places that cut glass on site, lens crafters, whatever, and they should be able to make them.
Right. The inserts for the Meta Quest 3 is, I believe they're $100. So, if it's Apple, it's probably going to be, $300 is my guess. And that's what, Mark Gurman is thinking too on that, but, you know, we'll see. My thinking is this might be potentially, a misstep by Apple.
I don't think it's a misstep. It depends on how many they make.
Well, it depends on how well it sells to the first, you know, for the, adopters, the early adopters.
Right.
So, if the early adopters get a high enough, pickup on it, then it could potentially, bring out, you know, the next version could be cheaper. But
there are other augmented reality glasses that have come out in the last couple of years. That doesn't mean that they're great, but they are out there, and it is improving, and one day we will have augmented reality contact lenses that don't suck.
Right. Well, here's
you'll be dead. I'll be like 105.
You know,
Dan's going to say contact lenses suck.
I feel really stupid about this. Cause the first I heard of the Apple Vision was when you guys were talking about, I just looked at it a little while ago and I was like looking at it compared to the Meta Quest 3 And I'm like, well, you know what? At least the Apple Vision is just like a pair of goggles with like glass that you see through, and they can see your face. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Not always.
It's just taking an image of your eyes and displaying it on the outside.
Yes.
I'm like, oh my God.
If you're sitting on your couch or if you're sitting there on a plane watching a movie on your Vision Pro, then, you get this, there's this weird, like, pulsating kind of effect that it has over the eyes. So, but the one thing that.
If I had a Google Cardboard on a plane, I wouldn't care because I don't want to talk to the guy next to me on the plane.
Well, this is true. I don't either. But here goes my other concern with especially the Apple product, because I know people will want to wear the fucker all the time. We already have problems. You know, like if you go to dinner with friends or something.
No.
Depending on who your friends are, they're probably staring at their looking at their fucking phone the whole time.
We already have enough problems with people trying to watch porn on their phone while driving down the road.
That too. It's other weird stuff like that. It's like, you know, why are we inventing technology that without considering the social aspect of the product? That's what I want to know, because, you know, it's already a problem, especially, like, I know Dan probably has to remind his daughter to put the stuff down when you're at the table eating as a family. I know I do.
Only about once a week.
Right.
She's pretty good about it, I'll admit that, but yes.
But so, I mean, that's my thing, and I could say the same thing with the MetaQuest 3, too, because it is also a mixed reality headset. So, you know, but it's just like, you know, I think we have more to worry about from these mixed AR headsets and stuff like that than we do AI at the moment. But AI also has some incredible implications too.
I mean, I don't doubt that down the line, augmented reality is going to do some really great and interesting things.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, somebody's got to blaze the path, and Apple's going to jump in there. But I don't know.
You know, I think it would be, you know, if it had the applications, like right now, it basically, you know, the first iPhone in terms of applications on there. I don't think there's a heck of a lot. They don't have any games or any production, you know, productivity stuff. But if they did, I mean, you would go, okay, I'm looking for a computer. I'm going to buy an Apple. Can I see this? Is it clear enough that I can replace the three monitors that I have on my desk now? And that's in that case there. Like I said, I don't know how it looks because, like I said, I probably never will, because even if they have it on, you know, display, I'm not going to be able to see it because I've got shitty eyesight.
Right. Without the inserts.
Yeah, without the inserts, I couldn't see it. But if I had that, and I was like, oh, well, you know, this is a, you know, pretty clear monitor to me, you know, even though I'm looking at it floating in air, you can get used to that. I think eventually people will.
I think you could, yeah.
And like I said, you know, you go, okay, well, that's $3,000. Well, you know, I paid $2,000 for the desktop that I have sitting here.
Right.
You know, and that's not even a Mac, you know. If you're doing it to replace, you know, what you have on your desk, and you can get the programs that you would normally use,
right?
Then you know, I don't think it would, you know, $3,500 versus, you know, $2,000.
Right.
But yet I replaced the three monitors in front of me and two laptops that are sitting here, you know. You replace all that, and you just have something sitting there on your desk. You're looking at the wall. You don't care. You're looking at the wall because it's
right.
The screen, basically, at that point.
Yeah.
Okay. I think
if it could take the place of all of that, then yes, I would agree with you. And if it could also take the place of your phone at the same time, then
yeah,
that would be kind of perfect.
And I'm sure that, you know, I would almost guarantee that when it comes out, if, you know, if your phone rings, then boom, it's going to pop up on your screen somehow.
Oh yeah,
but
Apple has great integration. Yeah, I mean, like a good example of that is I have AirPods, and when I if I'm using them with my iPad near my work computer, which is a Mac, I'll see a thing pop up that says, your AirPods are nearby. I'm like, well, gee, thanks.
Well, so at least like I said, that's the reason that a lot of the other virtual reality things aren't, you know, well, a very, very niche-y, I should say. Not that they didn't take off, they're very niche-y. Because, you know, you look at, you know, Cardboard and stuff like that. That was basically, I mean, I only ever saw, for me, one really good program on that I watched. And it was a rendition of Bohemian Rhapsody, and I can't remember who did it.
There was some
good stuff there. You go with the Oculus, well, you're looking at games at that point. So you're already advertising it to a very niche market to begin with.
Right.
Yes, I mean, there's a lot of gamers and stuff like that, but, you know, not most of them are very used to sitting in front of a monitor and not, you know, they're not going to buy it, you know, an Oculus or anything like that for 3D gaming because their games aren't on that.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And not only that, but, like, take me, for example. I like to game. I you know, I'm not a professional or anything, but I like to game. But would I ever be able to, you know, game on a 3D headset? Not very much because... Well, my family wants to watch if I'm playing a game.
Yeah.
They want to sit on their phones and pretend to watch.
Right.
When they throw a version of Office on there that allows you to you know, hook a keyboard up to it and sit there just type off in the distance, that's when you're going to see people picking it up.
Yeah, I think that's likely to happen.
Yeah. And the cost is lower than three monitors.
Right.
You
can already hook up, like, it will accept the Apple Bluetooth keyboard, so that works.
But is there a text editing program?
Yeah, right now that's only good for messages.
That's a good question, but I would be willing to bet dollars to donuts that Microsoft is going to have Office 365 on it.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and that's what this is going to work for people who want productivity stuff.
Right.
The games are going to be just because your kid, you know, whined and got one for Christmas or whatever, because you've got more money than brains. But like I said, for me, you know, hey, I can replace all the shit that's on my desk with one thing that I put over top of my head. Who the fuck cares? I sit in my room by myself anyways.
Right.
Here's the question. Here's my question, right? I don't think Apple's stupid. And I think that there is something here. But is this going to be the iPhone?
No.
Or is it going to be the Newton? Is it too early?
No.
Is it too early for this? Because
it's early.
It is.
It's early at the price.
But, the iPhone, when it came out, was incredibly expensive. But... A lot of people had, you know, phones.
They just bought it.
And there wasn't a lot going on with smartphones yet, but, you know, Apple comes out with this high-end thing, and, you know, look where we are today.
Right. Well, my opinion on it with this is that, yes, it's early. It's not as early as a lot of other people did, and the cost is atrocious, as far as I'm concerned. But, it's leading to the next step. I mean, eventually it will lead to lower cost stuff. Part of the reason that it is so high cost is because they're not actually expecting a lot of sales on this, would be my guess.
Why, maybe, but.
I think they're looking for developers to buy it and produce the applications and products with it so that they can eventually sell more.
Yeah. As well as with their brand new, Apple Silicon Mac Pro, which starts at $6,999.
Yeah, screw that.
Yeah, with the M2 Ultra. It's the first computer they've had of, with a had Apple Silicon that will allow you to use PCIe devices with it. Although not GPUs.
Do you guys think that we'll end up with some kind of, like, Ready Player One type of situation?
This could be the start of it.
Exactly, where everybody is in VR all the time to the point where they're actually, you know, not going and seeing people in person. And
yeah, that's why I mentioned the social implications. I mean, there's huge social implications on it.
not having babies, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, we're already having less babies. So.
Well, yeah, but that's because it keeps getting more and more expensive to have kids.
Amongst other reasons. But yeah, if you want all the power that the Mac Pro has, but you don't want to spend the cash, get a Mac Studio instead, because it has the same chip in it. You can get the same chip in it, the M2 Ultra. But that's a little bit more reasonable. It's $199 to start. So, but the whole line has now that Apple's brought out now switched completely away from Intel. There's not an Intel item that's brand new anymore. So
prices are still insane.
Yeah. I mean, it just depends. Well, it depends on what your mentality is. Like, when I looked at, when I was picking a laptop, I had a choice between a Dell or a MacBook Pro.
Were you paying for it?
I'm not paying for it. So I went with the MacBook Pro for the main reason is that the replacement cycle on our corporate laptops is now 4 years instead of 2 years.
Hold on a second.
So,
how much did you say the studio is compared to the MacBook Pro?
Compared to the Mac Pro. The studio starts at $1,999. The Mac Pro is $6,999.
Oh,
$6,000, Jesus Christ. Well,
yes.
Who's this geared towards? You were talking about the MacBook Pro, and I was like,
no.
I was like, you go into the Apple store and go get a Mac Studio, you need to get the monitor and the keyboard and everything
else
with it.
Well, that's
the other
thing.
And now like, then you're back up to being close to a MacBook Pro.
Correct. But they
especially
don't have
if you go to the Apple store.
Right. They don't have the Ultra chips in the MacBook Pros. They just have the M2, the Pro and the Max. So, if you really need all the horsepower but don't want to spend, what they want for the Pro, go get the Mac Studio. These are desktop machines, so in both cases, you'll have to buy a monitor. Now, who would buy the Mac Pro? Well, you're looking at places that do video production for business, ones that want to put an HBA card so they can attach the SAN directly to that Mac Pro for video storage, so on and so forth. It's not for the common everyday Joe. But I'm sure there are going to be everyday Joes that do buy it.
Well,
because they have more money than sense.
The Mac Studio. The Mac Studio isn't for the common everyday Joe.
I would say that too.
And the Mac Vision, Apple Vision isn't for the everyday common.
None of that is. Actually, you could probably make that case for most of the Apple's line, to be honest. But I do like my Mac, but I have the MacBook Pro with the M1 Pro in it, not the M2. I don't think it had been announced when I ordered it last year, but I do like it. Mac OS is pretty great. I'm looking forward to some of the changes they're going to be making to Sonoma, which is the next OS in the release pattern.
He's going to tell me every application I have installed is dangerous and will destroy my hard drive.
Who knows?
And prevent me from running it like the last one did.
Did that happen to you?
Oh,
it
didn't
happen to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, there's some update came through and then like, was it Vagrant and VirtualBox, I think was another one
Rancho.
They're like, you can't run this application. It'll destroy your hard drive. And I'm like, what?
Right.
And it wouldn't let me run it. So I was like, what's going on here? And like, yeah, you gotta update. Just update the software and it'll be fine. And I'm like, oh my God.
Right.
Like, it's cool to tell me, you know, hey, there's an update. And
be careful with something, but yeah.
Yeah. Don't tell me he's gonna lie and tell me he's gonna destroy the hard drive.
Right.
Destroy my system. I don't know.
Now, they did announce a more reasonably priced device in the new MacBook Air 15-inch. Well,
just about anything is more reasonably priced than $6,000.
True.
Yeah.
But that comes with the M2 chip in it, for the 15. You know, it looks fine. You know, it's fine. It's stylized similar to my MacBook Pro. So, you know, I could definitely, if I were to order a Mac for myself now, it probably would be, I don't know if I'd do the 15 or the 13. I kind of prefer the smaller one. Because I can always hook up a Thunderbolt dock to it.
Couldn't you do the same with, like, a Dell XPS?
Well, yeah, it just depends on how stable I want the OS to be to run Creative Cloud. You know, if I can run Creative Cloud on Linux, well, forget it. But I can't.
Well, you can also get a Dell XPS with Windows on it.
True. True. I'm just waiting for, the piece. Well, Windows, they are working on ARM-based chips. I think what the, you can get Surface Pro 9 with the ARM in it now, I think. So.
Well, when they make an ARM chip that doesn't suck.
Well, that's the key there, right? I know the Surface Pro X, didn't really work all that well.
Did any of their RT line?
No.
Stop them from selling it.
Well, RT had its own issues with Windows 8 being on it, and Windows 8 being very, very bad.
Well, it wasn't just that it was Windows 8; it was that only specific applications
ported
over. And
right.
You could potentially get non-RT applications to run on it. But in order to do that, I mean, you had to run the fix every time you turned the thing on.
Right, and then never mind about trying to get Linux to work on it.
Yeah, no way you were going to get Linux.
Right. Or even Android, for that matter. But
I had that locked down.
Yeah,
nobody used it.
The SQ3 chip, I'm not exactly sure how great that is. I have to double check. May have a friend that has the ARM-based one, but I don't know whether he bought, you know, because this is just Surface Pro 9, I don't know if he got the one with the SQ3 or if he went with the Intel. But
I understand that, you know, the ARM architecture saves battery power, but where do you go where you don't have some kind of power source near you?
For me, nowhere. But, you know.
The airport.
I mean, if you're going camping, you really need to take that with you?
Well, see, and there goes, like, I am going to a state park at the end of the month for, on the 30th.
I bet they got sites that, you know, where you can plug shit in.
Well,
you're going to run a POTA from there?
Actually, I don't know about that.
Well, I already know you can't go anywhere where you can't plug shit
maybe.
In.
Maybe. Well, no, I have a cabin, so yes, I can plug shit in.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, I don't know.
Oda.
I don't know if, yeah, I should probably do it, especially since the bands are getting more open now, this has to be one of the smallest state parks I've ever been to, because it's got this tiny lake, and that's pretty much the whole state park. There are some trails to go around the lake, which I'll probably be hiking. The longest one's like 1.2 miles, which is no big deal. But I looked up on Verizon's coverage map, and of course, guess what? There ain't no coverage, which I'm okay with. I'm totally okay with. We're going to be there the 30th through the 5th. Work phone, they can call me all they want. The work phone won't even be with me. So, or the laptop. Unlike last year where I said I would bring it with me. Good thing for me, it didn't really matter because, I was, incommunicado at Lake Hope State Park last year. So, the cabin is a little bit nicer, at Pike Lake. It's Pike Lake State Park. You can see the satellite image on Google Maps. But the cabin looks a lot nicer. I think it might be newer too. But it's just a tiny park. If you want to go in a boat and go fishing in it, you're only allowed an electric motor. It won't let you put gas motors in it. So, noise and wake. So, but, the beach itself is actually on a little island in the middle of the lake. So, you just walk across the bridge and go hang out in the bridge. Or beach, I mean. But, and I think we may make a trip down, like, if not, while we're down there, because it's only about an hour away. If not when we're down there on the way home, and there's a mom and pop, place in Chillicothe called Sunburger I may have to check out. I've heard good things. But it'll be nice to just get away from the house and, all the fireworks, because it's strange now. Let me preface this. You can sell and buy fireworks pretty much anywhere in Ohio now. That's changed within the last year. But most cities have said you can't set them off. Not like it stopped them from before when you couldn't even buy them in Ohio. But it's like weird. Like I went to Meijer grocery shopping last weekend, and they have a whole 4th of July setup thing in the aisle, and they have – more than just smoke bombs. First time ever since I lived in Ohio.
I spent a really long time in El Paso, and that area always under some kind of like fire warning, fire hazard.
Well, technically we are
it's
too.
It's a freaking desert.
Yeah, we are too. We haven't had a lot of rain in the last month.
But every year they always sell a crap ton of fireworks right outside the city limits because it's city ordinance that prevents.
Yeah, as soon as the weather got warm outside, the neighborhood rednecks are setting fireworks off already.
Do that around here inside city limits. They don't care.
Yeah. Well, and the funniest thing is on the community Facebook page, you know, people will be bitching about it. My dog doesn't like the fireworks. I'm like, you know it's going to happen every year. Why don't you do something about it and quit bitching?
I've got some PTSD related to things blowing up over my head. And,
right, that too.
And I live like a couple of blocks away from one of the largest fireworks displays in America every year on the 4th of July. Do I bitch or complain about it?
No. Nope. You take care of it. You buy some earplugs, whatever it takes, you take care of it. You don't take away other people's fun.
Exactly. I know it's my problem, not theirs.
Right. And if you didn't have that PTSD, you'd probably be right out there setting some off too, probably, because let's face it, it's fun blowing stuff up.
Well, they're blowing up stuff a whole lot bigger than I could buy, so I have gone to the show, and you know, it's not
so bad
now as it was like 20 years ago, but yeah.
Right. But yeah, I just have to laugh at it, you know, the people act like, what with the fireworks? It happens every freaking year.
4th of July, that's what we do, we're Americans.
Why is it so hot out? It's the summer.
You can complain about it being hot, but don't ask why.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like, yeah. We've been very lucky up here in Ohio in that the last few summers, it's actually been relatively okay. We had maybe a week or two that it was hot, which is normal.
Hey, Samuel, what's the temperature? Only 77 right now.
Yeah, up here it says 67. So I mean, you know, but like, you know,
it's
you'll see
90% humidity right this second.
Well, yeah, I don't know what the humidity is because my Echo Show doesn't show that, but anywho, well, I went to sleep doctor. Sleep doctor was happy.
Fine.
She said, you know, to keep doing what you're doing. My blood pressure is down thanks to the, new medicine my, primary care put me on. But he's going to send me to, a nephrologist, to take a look at my, I'm assuming kidneys. The
bumps on your head?
Kidneys, but.
One lump or two?
My, in my urine, there was a higher level of protein than he would have liked to see. So they're going to check that out. It might change my meds up a little bit, which will help even more with the blood pressure.
My numbers came out good. My LDL was nice and low. Sadly, my HDL was also nice and low.
Yeah, I have that HDL problem too, where it's too low.
and then my blood pressure is awesome. My heart rate is basically that of an Olympic sprinter.
Yeah.
Everything That's else, been my going kidney down function on me. Was good. My liver function is good. All that jazz. My testosterone levels are still kind of low, so I get to get again 3 more months to find out whether or not I need to go to the urologist.
Yep.
Also, they're putting me on some more antihistamines.
Yeah.
But Zyrtec in the evenings, and then they're because I'm having some problems with wakefulness, and he doesn't like my weight being at 230 pounds. So he's putting me on some appetite suppressant / upper thing.
Do you know which one?
Something. Hold on.
Fenfen.
No, not Fenfen. That's 1996, and that's a fan.
That's correct.
Fenfen. Because he wanted to put me on topiramate mixed with phentermine, but I've been on. Ooh. Topiramate before for nerve damage.
Right.
And I freaking hated it. So I don't want to do the combo, and you have to jump through a whole bunch of hoops to do the combo anyway. So he's just giving me the phentermine, or however you say it, which is basically, you know, meth.
Right.
But I don't know.
We'll see. Like the other med that my doctor put me on was a calcium channel blocker, diltiazem, I think. I can't pronounce a damn thing.
This is starting to sound like a 2 meter repeater here.
Yeah, no shit. you know why? Yeah. Because we're all getting old, dude.
I was just at the doctor's today, and.
But I will say this now. I'm at right up. Between 5 and 6 days a week at the gym. It'll be
I'm
six probably
right now.
Yeah, it'll probably be 6 days this week. I took today off because I was just blitzed in this morning. I just didn't feel like getting out of bed.
Well, it depends on how much you're doing at the gym, whether doing 6 days is actually good for you.
Yeah, in my case it is.
If you haven't done a lot in the past, but if you're just doing like light cardio,
that's what I'm doing.
By all means, 30 minutes a day, do it 6 days a week, 7 days a week.
Yep, that's what I'm doing. But that's what, since I have a Pixel watch now, I bought one, Alan. I really like it, actually.
I'm rocking the 8-year-old Versa.
Fitbit. Okay, the Fitbit Versa.
In a lovely rose gold because it's my wife's.
Ooh.
I've still got my S3.
Okay.
Your S3.
I do have the trial of Fitbit Premium. I'll probably keep it. I may consider buying. I did at one point had a Fitbit scale, but it crapped out. I might buy another one. But technically, I have one that work gave me one through the Livongo program. I have the scale, blood pressure meter, as well as the glucometer. And I don't pay anything for my supplies. I literally can order the test strips. From the meter itself, because it's got a 5G connection on it. So, but
the
sugars are good. he's happy with that.
I've looked up the side effects on the drug that they're going to put me on, and it is quite a potential range of side effects.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're part of the reason they're putting me on it is wakefulness, and you know, one of the potential side effects is fatigue. And the first couple of times you take it, you're not supposed to drive, so that you know how you react before you start driving. I am starting out on the lowest dose on this stuff. He wanted to put me on a much, much higher dose, and it's like, nah, I'm good, bro. and like other weird side effects, like you could either be constipated or have diarrhea.
Yeah. That's the one. Those two are on the one they just added me on, which is a calcium channel blocker. Skin flushing, which actually kind of concerned me more, but fortunately, I get that side effect, but it's very, very different than when I've got it before. He had me taking niacin to try to get my HDL up. That stuff, I can't do it.
Itchy butthole syndrome?
Well, not just that, but it's like feels my skin's on fire, you know?
Yeah.
this new one for my blood pressure, it gives me a tiny bit of it, but it's very, very workable.
there's more, because it could also cause a change in sexual function one way or the other. Either you're going to want more sex and be able to perform a lot more, or you're going to want more sex and be impotent, or you're just not going to want sex.
When I read those kinds of things, it just makes me think,
who
did this?
There's more potential hallucinations. Potential psychotic events.
I'm tired of being sober.
Right. Potential psychosis. Various other things that are just like off the wall crazy and out there. Now, I'm assuming since this product has been on the market for an extremely long time that those are extreme outliers. Right. But they also include things like heart palpitations, cardiac arrest, seizures, aneurysms, blood clots, you know, the usual.
Yep.
Granted, I didn't look any of this stuff up until after my doctor's appointment.
Yeah, I tried Belvique, and there was one other one I tried. But the doctor that was prescribing those meds was my sleep doctor, and that guy is no longer with the practice, so which I'm fine with.
I should see if my doctor's willing to switch me off of this stuff to something like modafinil.
Yep. But I'll say you know, of me doing the workout, I am physically feeling better. I've lost some weight, but not a lot of weight. So I'm getting there. Oh, and Joe, I had my first huge fail on my Smart 10 Pro. So what I figured out happened was I must have started a print, okay? But in the morning when I got up, I come up and there was nothing on the bed. I couldn't visually – well, I must have been looking close enough. I couldn't visually see that there was anything wrong, so I thought, well, maybe I just start that print. So I go and start it again. And then like a half hour later, I'm over at my desk working, and all of a sudden I hear the printer chattering. I look, and it's stuck, and it's chattering around. So I go in there, I hit the power button. I go and look at the print head, and it's the heat block is completely surrounded by PLA.
I've had something similar happen where the end of the nozzle gets clogged and it starts oozing out between the block and the nozzle.
Right.
It's just everywhere.
I had ordered Luckily, I had cash, so I ordered a spare extruder. Basically, yeah, the whole assembly, which actually I found out with this one because that printer has the Sprite extruder, which is a direct drive, right? It includes almost everything, but of course it doesn't have the Sierra Touch. You have to strip that off the other one. And it doesn't include, there's a circuit board that goes on the back of it that you have to pull off the other one. So I ordered that. And I ordered this specific heat block and nozzle. I already had it ordered, but then I pulled it, when I started pulling it apart, I thought, let me take this outside and take my butane torch and see if I can't clean that up to the point where I can take the heat block off. And I was able to. So I actually still have the original extruder on it.
Yeah, I did that with my last one where I had to replace, right, like, everything, and then I set the old one on the side, and I came in with, you know, a lighter and a pick, and most of it I was able to pick off, and then what I couldn't pick off, I was able to heat up and then pick off. And I got it completely clean, and I got it set here. The only thing it needs is the heater and the thermistor.
Right. And I think what happened is, on the first one is, when I was trying to clean it off, I accidentally pulled up, and I was able to heat it up once, but then it stopped heating, and I think it's because the, thermistor was shot. So, because the cable probably broke. A wire, I should say, because it's not really a cable.
Well, if the thermistor broke, then you shouldn't have been getting temperature readings back, and it shouldn't have printed at all, because it should have never gotten the temperature.
Well, yeah, when I tried to heat it back up, it didn't even try. So I'm like, well, let's just order. So I was able to clean most of that off, and I've got, like I said, the only thing I added back onto it was the extra heat block, which came with the cartridge and the thermistor already installed.
I'm surprised you didn't get a thermal runaway then.
Yeah, me too. But, so I think with the extra extruder that I have, because I'm not sending it back, you know, I'll probably go pick up the circuit board and a CR Touch kit and basically set it up so that it's ready to go. And then, if I get a bad fail on again, I can switch it and still be printing. But it's printing fine. Printing fine. So I have no complaints about that. You know, that was clearly my fault, not the printer's fault.
Well, if I wanted this to be a quick swap on my hot end, I would have to go in and put the Olex connectors on all connections from here, and then every time I got a new one, get the Molex connectors ready so I can quickly swap out.
Yep. This one, because this is a direct drive, it's really ingenious how they set it up. Basically, you remove, there's really only three hex bolts that keep it attached to the carriage. So you remove those three and you just pull it right off. I mean, there's nothing screwed into that back plate like it normally is on an Ender. It's just the three, bolts on the side. Plus it has a, ribbon cable that goes over to the printer. That's why all the little, cables that come off the heat block, the thermistor, the extruder itself, the stepper on the extruder, the CR Touch sensors, and the fans all plug into this little circuit board. So it's that rather than do that. You don't have to replace, like on my CR 10 Mini, when I buy replacements, it includes the whole cabling all the way back to the controller. This isn't like that at all. So. But generally, though, I still would recommend this printer. Like I said, just make sure that you really didn't start a print before and it's attached to the bottom of the print head before you started again. That was fault.
I've had a recent failure, but it was an odd one, and it wasn't, you know, my fault. Other than the fact that I was using some old, I had put the PLA through the dryer, the filament dryer, several times, like several times. But it was clear. Clear PLA has its issues.
Yeah, clear. Yeah, I like how clear PLA looks, but I've not had good luck getting one that doesn't need massive amounts of drying.
Right, right. Well, this got massive amounts of drying was the thing, and then I started a print when I went into work, and I checked on it a couple of times because you know I've got Octoprint set up with a camera. So from work, I was able to check on it, and it all looked good, and then I stopped checking on it, and then I got home, and it had just been air printing, I guess, for a couple of hours by the time. No, not spaghetti. Not spaghetti.
Oh, big old lump?
No, not a big old lump either. What had happened was there was a hard spot in the spool, and it got to that hard spot. And it like caught on the side of the spool and like picked up the spool and pulled it off of the rollers that I have there. And then that hard spot was able to continue moving forward until it got to the gear, the extrusion gear. And then it snapped.
So okay.
It popped off the backside and then
I've had
it just
that happen.
Printed in the air. Nothing coming out, and yeah, did nothing for a couple of hours.
Well, luckily for me, like I ran out, the filament run-out sensor on this thing works pretty well. It ran out.
I don't think the filament run-out sensor would have caught that.
No, it wouldn't. So I was in the middle of a print, and I decided, do I want to just stop it, or do I want to finish it? And since I'm not sure if this is the actual end-use product, I'm just going to go ahead. I just said, let's just start it again with the new, with more filament. But I was digging through my box of filament, which most of it's actually in a partially used state at this point.
Right.
But I found a whole box that has not, that had a whole fresh roll in it. I'm like, oh, cool. And I do have a roll of a PTE.
It's time to open it up and use it all up.
That's right.
Yeah, PET G is definitely one of those things that you have to dry if it's set for any amount of time.
Yeah. I have a roll of PET G, but it's still sealed, so I don't have to worry about that yet.
Yeah.
So the one I pulled out was chocolate brown, which it's not really as dark as I'd like it for a chocolate brown, but it's pretty close. But
good for making turns.
Yeah, well. I don't want to do that because that black thing was like a big black turd. Is I was using my favorite, what's starting to become one of my favorite filaments is Overture's matte black. It looks, prints really beautifully and it really looks nice too.
I've had some decent luck with Overture. I've also had a couple of rolls that
were. Most of the Overture stuff, yeah, I was going to say, most of the Overture is now my favorite. Solatech is actually starting to get hard to find. And
no, the roll of clear that I was talking about is actually Solatech.
Really?
And I've had trouble with it since I first got it. I was hoping that the dryer would take care of most of that.
Right.
Yeah.
I need to get it sounds funny, but when I say it might sound funny when I say this, but I might end up needing it if I buy a resin printer anyway. But I want to get one of them UV light fingernail dryers. But the reason I want it is I have some glow-in-the-dark filament I printed into Christmas ornaments. And before I go to give it to somebody, I'd like to charge it up real good. Or when I go to hang it on my tree that night.
A lot of your glow-in-the-dark filaments work with just, you know, regular light.
Oh, yeah, I know. It will.
So you just stick it in a window for an hour.
But, yeah, in my house, it's the window because the LEDs don't seem to be strong enough to charge it up.
Even though they're
bright.
No, because I have a bunch of USB batteries that I made out of old 18650 batteries that I have hanging around from when I used to vape. But I use glow-in-the-dark filament for that. And when you charge those things, they have that red LED on the inside.
That was enough?
And that's more than enough to get that thing to light up.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah, I can't see, like, if I just, like, I have it, they're sitting on top of, one of my cabinets over here now. If I turn the lights completely off, they won't be glowing. The only way I've ever had them glow is if I stick them in the window for a little bit. But, at least up here, I may end up, rectifying that, helping to cut some of that light coming in, cause, in the winter, this room will become pretty hot. Fortunately, with the air conditioner on, it's fine.
Almost time for me to buy some glow-in-the-dark so I can start printing out Halloween decorations.
That, yeah, works great for that stuff, too.
I have a bunch of ghosts that I printed out at different sizes last year. Still look really awesome.
And even though that does have some abrasion properties to it, I'm not affected by it too much because I have a nickel
printhead
nozzle. Well, nozzles are cheap, but I have a nickel one. I don't have a brass nozzles. One. Yeah, I have a slew of them for my old one, but
when I'm print, I've already switched to using a 6mm nozzle for most of my prints.
Yep.
So if I'm printing it with the glow in the dark, which yes is a bit of abrasive and will cause fogs a lot quicker than most other stuff, I'm still not really going to have that much of a problem because I am using a thick nozzle. And if I print out something really big, I'll switch to a 0.8 or a 1.
Right. That's actually another reason I could set up that other extruder, is I can swap the nozzle on it with the 6mm. Then I can easily swap back and forth between the two.
I love printing with the 6mm. I mean, yeah. I am using...
0.6.
Yeah, the 0.6. I am using the Cura, the Arachne beta version, which will print the thinner lines. So if you're using a thicker nozzle, you can still print the thinner lines. And it comes out really well.
Yep.
I noticed very, very few quality differences between using the 0.6 and the 0.4.
Alan, you have an Ender now, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Did you get the Micro Center deal?
I bought it at Micro Center, but I don't think I got it on a sale or anything like that. Well, maybe it was.
Well, the crop of it all is the recent deal on those has been like $99, but you had to be a new customer, and I'm for sure not a new customer of Micro Center.
Drag my wife there. No, I will drag my kids there.
Yeah, there you go.
I was gonna say, yeah, I got it a while ago. I don't remember what I paid for it. It wasn't super expensive.
No,
maybe like $1.99 when I got it.
Yeah, I think the regular price is $2.79. So if you got it at $1.99, you got it on sale.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's where I ended up buying this. This first 3D printer I didn't have to wait for when I got it. I got it at Micro Center. I ordered it. You can go to their website. Put your order in, and then just go pick it up, and that's what I did. So
yeah, I've done that before.
That's how I normally do it because it's an hour away.
Right.
I want to make sure that when I get there, that you know that it's actually there.
I do that because when I get there, the line is like an hour long on the inside.
Yeah. It can be. Yeah.
Yeah, and I did have some issues last time I went there with the compatibility of the power supply and the alternate power supply that they had
picked
because there wasn't any of the one that I had wanted, so blah.
I'm on their website right now. Now, granted, I don't think I get it, but they have the Creality Halot 1 CL60 resin printer for $119.
That's a really good price if I were into making a mess.
Yeah, it is. I think if I go for a resin, I'm probably going to go for Elegoo. Mostly because you can get, for about $300, you can get the complete kit. The printer, the cleaning station, and the curing station all together.
I'm interested in the bamboo.
That too.
Another FDM, of course. But
see, the only thing about the bamboo is it doesn't run on open source firmware.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I didn't know this. Micro Center started airing some laser engravers. I might have to get one of those.
Aren't there like conversion kits for
some printers? Yeah.
3D printers into laser engravers, or having a laser engraver next to the nozzle, or...
Yep, I don't know if I'd go for one of the conversions, or there's also like the Anchor Mate M5 3D, which I think can do all of it. But,
No, I think if I were to get something else or make a modification or something, it would be...
It'd be what?
Dual extrusion?
Maybe.
I can see where it would add more problems because, you know...
Dual extrusion.
Twice as many nozzles to get...
Right.
Twice as many settings to get messed up. But I would like, you know, that dissolvable...
PVA. PVA. Yeah,
the support material that you just run it under hot water and it goes away.
Yep.
That would be awesome.
Tree support, man.
I printed a little adapter for like a pen for mine.
Right.
Only to realize that the stock firmware on there, I forget what the extension is, but it doesn't have the one extension in there, so it only makes straight lines. So when I actually do curves and stuff. And I was just like, yeah, I really don't feel like downloading firmware and modifying it. Like, it works fine as it is. I'm just going to leave it.
And which model did you have?
It's the version 3. The Ender V3.
The Ender 3, is it V3? The Pro or the V2?
V2.
Okay.
Okay, there you go. Actually, probably not the laser engraver. I'd probably get they have a two trees CNC 3018 Pro Router Kit Axis Carving Milling Engraving Machine for $119. That might be more attractive to some of the ideas I have to make stuff for around the house, aka shit to hang on walls for my wife.
Yeah. I had to print out another piece to hold my thumbnail together. Yes, my thumbnail split up the middle, and I've been 3D printing a cover for it that I glue into place so that, you know, it doesn't cause
On your pain. Finger or your thumb?
Yes, on my thumb. And I've also, today I designed, and I'm currently printing, an adapter to... I have some dowel that's sitting around doing nothing, and I have these cheap brooms where the metal handles snapped off. Making an insert for those cheap brooms, and I'm converting my dowels to broom handles.
There you go.
And
I need to get a transparent dowel for my V-gun that I printed.
And then I went to a consignment shop the other day, and I was able to find an Easy Curl bar for like $4, but it was missing the screw on the end cap so that it actually holds the weights into place. 3D printed a pair of those, so now I have an Easy Curl
bar
that I got for $4.
That'll work fine until you put some heavy weights on it that might put stress on those end caps.
Well, if you're using those end caps correctly on that Easy Curl
it wouldn't put any pressure on it, right. Yeah,
even if you have a shit ton of weight in there, unless you're trying to go left and right, it should be fine.
Right.
And I'm using 100% infill, so...
Pretty solid.
Yeah, it should just work. And... If they break, what's the worst that happens? I have to
print a new one
them again.
Yeah. No, the worst that could happen is the weight falls off it and hits
my
toe.
Foot.
That's the worst.
The other day, using the regular end caps, I had 15 pounds because it slowly unscrewed and I didn't notice, and then it just popped off, and then 15
Ow.
Pounds dropped on my foot. Yeah, it was not pleasant.
Ow.
So what's the difference? Oh, and I did. Did I tell you guys last time that I used some cement and my 3D printer and to make the core for Olympic sized weights, and I made my own 20-pound Olympic weights.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, with a bucket inserts that I made, and then some cement. So like $4 of cement, $2 worth of buckets and about 10 cents worth of plastic.
Nice.
And it worked pretty well. I was going for 25s. My math, I guess, was a little off. So I didn't take some of the curves into account. Came out to 20 for each of them.
I sneak out my radio before that camping trip. I think I might take it with me. I don't know if I'm going to do a Parks on the Air, but might go just do it. Some operating. Any HF operating would be pleasant, because that seems to be the only place you can find people to chatter at. The last... Yeah, the only day I ever, every once in a while I'll fire up the, one of the, either the DMR or the, actually bought a new Bofang, got the 8-water, got the 8-water one. They're all legal now too. I think they fixed the spurious issues that they had, but, that one has, well, it's supposed to have 8 watts. It's probably going to be closer to about 6 or 7 is my guess. With the losses and the antenna, but still it's better than any of the other ones I have. But I throw my call out and I'm listening. I'll do that 3 or 4 times in a day and nobody ever comes back. It's like, well, fine. The only time I ever talk too much is if I have something to report on the, severe weather net, which we haven't had much severe weather this spring yet.
Yes.
Which is a good thing.
I usually have them on, but I don't talk a whole lot.
Right.
I might All-Star Node on.
I might fire up my D-Star every once in a while, too. What I need to do for my DMR is I need to build a hotspot for that, for when I travel.
Yeah, they're good to have around.
Yep. Well, consider, I think the DMR repeater's in the north side of Columbus, so sometimes I have trouble hitting it from here straight. So, but I can hear it just fine.
Well, they're also nice. You know, if you have your hotspot, it's also nice because you're not tying up the repeater. Just, you know, if you just feel like
that too, right? Yep. Well, considering that, like, one of my favorite, talk groups is the Ohio statewide one. They have a Midwest group too that I should probably add to my co-plug. Might be more people on that one. But traveling with the DMR is a little harder because I don't know what talk groups those repeaters have. You know,
that's why you get a hotspot.
That's exactly right. Yeah, because it could have some, or it could be like a D Star in eastern Pennsylvania, where everything's on what 30C, I think it is.
No, 20A.
Okay, yeah. Still don't matter. You're on the same one. It's like, I guess it made sense to someone, not me.
Yeah, it's like half of eastern PA and
New York, right?
Half of New Jersey, northern New Jersey.
Right. But
no, I'm not on D-Star all that much anymore.
Yeah. Yep.
Radio's right here, but it probably needs to be charged. It hasn't been charged in a long time.
I would like the new handheld that ICOM just released.
It looks really nice, but I can't afford it. Right now, I can't afford anything, so.
Right, you haven't got a job now, right?
No, still looking.
And that's got to be...
Not having much luck at all.
I was going to say, it has to be a bitch at your age.
It is a pain in the ass.
Charles Schwab, all hiring out here. Wells Fargo, all hiring here. If
yeah,
you can deal with FinTech.
Yeah, I think either I have to look into changing my career, which means starting back at the beginning, which is not going to be very good, or I have to think about, I don't want to move, but I don't, I don't want to move because I got 10 more fucking years, you know? It's all I need.
Right.
There are several, full-time remote positions, but like I was saying before, you end up taking a pay cut.
Yeah, the problem is I'm running, you know, I had one guy call me from California, which I hope he learns that he can't talk on a fucking, on a headset mic. Because right. It literally was like...
Yeah, I think I talked to that guy.
Oh, he was an Indian guy with a strong accent, but that's okay. I can understand that stuff. But he called me. I didn't get the phone call initially, but you know, he left a message, you know, an email, or a voicemail, and I'm listening to it over and over again. I'm like, I have no clue what the hell this is about. I'm hearing part of it's a job, so I know it's that much, but I'm like, I have no clue who, where. But I did get something about an email. So I go in there and I find the email. And unfortunately, you know, it would have been a really nice job. It was out in Cupertino for Apple. It was remote. But it's not what I do. And so I called the guy back. And half of the conversation was and I'm like, I can't, I'm sorry. I have a bad connection. I knew he was talking into his cheek. That much I got. Like, you know, I don't want to come out and say that. You know, pull the fucking mic from your cheek, dude.
Probably using his AirPods.
No, I don't think he was even that bad. I think it was probably, you know, one of those headset mics that come around, but it was touching his cheek. And you could hear it, because every once in a while, if he moved, it would sort of come in clear, and then it would come back again. And finally, he picked up his phone, and then I'm like, "Oh, you're perfectly clear now." Because I'm like, "You, I'm sorry. You sound like you're at the other end of a room,
weird,
and speaking quietly." Because I'm asking over and over again. It's like, "What is this for? Who, you know, who are you?" It's just, you know, he just keeps talking. He's like reading off his little spiel and stuff.
Honestly,
I'm like, yeah, you know, it's like, it's a great job. But I said, you know, even though my name, my title is engineering, as engineer, so I'm not really that type of an engineer.
I cut these guys off as soon as they say production support. I'm like, who's the end client? Because that's my first question, because there are some companies that I just can't work for. And then who's the contracting company? What's the rate? What's the job?
Yeah.
Because... Those are the ones that are going to end the call the quickest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Or I'll get one like they see the cloud application administrator title, and they automatically think I'm a cloud engineer. I'm like, I'm not a cloud engineer.
No.
Well, see, that's what's happened with me. Yeah, it's engineering is in there, even though I state that, you know, I'm an IC, you know, mass designer. Everything sees engineer, and like I got some shit for like I got one in the mail the other day. It was like for a nuclear engineer.
No,
at a power plant. I'm like,
wow.
Why?
I once had a position where I worked with SAP, and with SAP I integrated ab initio. So the word ab initio shows up on my resume. So I constantly get calls for ab initio engineers, and it's like, okay, well, I know how it works, how it integrates to SAP, or at least I did a decade ago.
Yeah.
But I'm not an ab initio engineer.
Yep.
Yeah, this guy's like, well, it's VXL. I'm like, yes, it's VXL. I can lay out a VXL, you know, design for you. I said, but I can't design a VXL for you because that's not what my specialty was. I had a what would have been a really nice one. I mean, down in Bethlehem here, so it would have been like, you know, 15-minute drive to work. And it was doing layout. And I don't know why that one, you know, I think the guy was a little prejudiced. It was my first interview. And I tell the guy, it's like, I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous here. I haven't interviewed anyone, you know, or in an interview for anything in 28 and a half years. So I may be a little bit rusty at this. And I thought I was doing good, but I think he was really looking for somebody who, like, did programming as well. And whereas I can do some programming, I'm not doing the stuff I think that he wanted to.
Yep.
But I was honest. I was like, you know, yes.
One of my favorites.
But we had a department that did that, so I didn't really have to do this.
Right.
But when they're looking for that, then they're usually not offering what they should be offering.
That's true.
As a pay rate.
Yeah.
When they start getting into those multi-role things, they come in as a, oh, this is a support role and you're also going to be developing. That's not exactly a support role, is it?
No, not anymore. And I was sort of pissed because my coworker, who also got laid off the same time as me, he interviewed for the same thing, but he actually got called in, and they basically, you know, I ran into him at Lowe's last week, and he was talking about it, and he's like, yeah, they don't even do half the stuff that we do, that we were doing. Plus they're using some, like, you know, they don't use Cadence, you know, I'm like, okay, and they got the guy to tell me that. He goes, yeah, they're doing just, you know, single device, basically. They're just, you know, it's half a dozen polygons. And he goes, they're using like a free layout software, which I think it's called, A-Layout, I think is what it's called. Which I have used because I used it to read in GDS files from when I had to convert stuff at work. So I'm like, oh, I don't know why. And he's like, I don't know why they said, because they actually told him, no, we'll be going with somebody else at the end. So I'm like, okay, that's not right. A good one there. But they tell you on your way out the door that don't bother to call back. Now, this was like almost a month ago. I may give the guy a call again just to see if there's anything still going on because, you know, on LinkedIn, I saw their posts. And they have device designer. I'm like, well, that's exactly what I interviewed for. So you obviously haven't hired anybody yet.
Right.
So I may shoot them an email tomorrow and see whether or not, you know, the post is still open. Because there's nothing else around here. This, you know, all of the IC stuff that was in the Lehigh Valley area has been it's been pushed off. There's Austin. Austin's a big hub.
Right. That one's horrible.
Besides the California ones, North Carolina, Research Triangle down there, you know, is one. And I was looking at one, and it's like, yeah, this is what I do. But, you know, I don't want to move to North Carolina. I don't and like the heat.
Right.
Believe it or not, you don't want to move to Texas right now.
Oh, no. I have no desire to move to Texas at all. You know, if he gave me something and said, okay, it's, you know, it's remote, I'll be like, oh yeah, that's fine. You know, I only have to go down there for, you know, a week or so to deal with something. That's fine, but I don't want to move there.
Politics is all screwed up here right now.
Yeah. Well, it's like I'll get an email. Oh, we have this really great position. Well, you'll be doing this, and that, and basically managing this whole team. And then I'm like, well, what's the salary? And they're like, half of what I make now. I'm like, no.
No. Or they want to offer you the same rate that you're getting now, but they want to offer you that, and you have to go to California. And it's like, no, I'm good.
Yep. Or you're doing like three times the amount of work you do now, and you're like, yeah, I'm all right with that.
I didn't even put in my thing that I did management stuff. I didn't even put that in my resume because, one, I hated it.
Right.
I mean, I just really just want to go in, do my work, and get the fuck out. Right. I have no desire, even though I had only one person that reported to me, you know, in the last 7 years. You
know, I wouldn't mind.
I would love to have you on my team.
Right.
Want to come to production support?
Yeah. What do I have to do?
You have to convince Bank of America to actually hire people.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, let's see. Like, you know, I got a couple of friends that work for Skyworks, which, you know, they're like, oh yeah, and it's like, we're so overloaded with people, but they, you know, aren't hiring anybody. So it's like, well, you know.
They generally want to keep who they have. Yeah, so they don't have to retrain.
Yeah, but like I said, you know, the couple of jobs that I was looking at there, I would actually just fall right into because I'm doing
right.
It would be doing the exact same thing that I was doing in the first place.
Right.
And then you move to Texas.
Yeah. I was actually looking into
I wouldn't mind management. I'm looking into possibly entering into an MBA program, which I've always wanted to have higher than a bachelor's degree, but then I start thinking
that's my other problem there is I don't have a degree.
Right. I just thinking about it, I'm like.
Yeah, but you've got enough experience that should not matter in the least. I mean, you come from a different time frame where people in this field, in our field, did not have degrees. They were creating the field.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I think the problem is like when you do some of these automatic, you know, online, you know, submissions and stuff, they don't, you know, because you just go, well, yeah, my highest degree is high school and some college, you know, and it's just like, right. Oh, you don't have a bachelor's, sorry. And you get dropped. I used to laugh, you know, cause, you know, I had to do some hiring when I wanted my last job, and I would look at what they prepared for us. I'm like, you know, I don't even qualify for what I'm hiring for. You have to have a bachelor's degrees and, you know, 8 years of experience. And it's just like, we're hiring you as a brand new person. How would you get 8 years of experience?
Right.
Great.
No, I've got one guy on my team that does not have a degree, and he's actually one of the best people that I have on my team. He actually is in his 30s, though, and he's been on the team for like 3-4 years now. But, you know, he's eager, he's smart, he's willing to learn things, and doesn't think he knows everything.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. Which I'm still all of those things, but except for the young Bart.
Well, it's almost, it's getting close to 10:30.
Yeah, we're gonna wrap this up. Just a reminder that this weekend is Southeast Linux Fest.
I wish I was going, oh well.
Yeah, I sort of wanted to go, but like I said,
tough time of year.
Well, considering I just went to Hershey like a week or two ago, or Hershey in New York, so.
Next week I will be in Florida. Hopefully I'm able to get on.
Don't.
All right.
Enjoy your vacation, man.
I'll talk to y'all later.
Yeah, have a happy, good luck job hunting, Alan, and everybody else. Have a great one. I'm going to play this out.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
I am short.
Yep.
Oh, my God. It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Hey, way past my bedtime. It's gonna be you anyway, Alan.
Probably, yeah. There's a problem, I'll bring it up to everyone.
How you... Wait, am I recording yet? How you guys doing with the,
With the smoke?
The air pollution, yeah.
I think earlier we were in hazardous range.
Me and Murph were talking about that.
It's like 458. 458 right now, I think, is what the number is.
Yeah. Murph was saying that it was pretty nasty outside, and he was refusing to go outside.
Yeah, it's not. I was out earlier. I had to run out and get something. And if you're out there for any length of time, you do get actually the stinging eyes. At least I did.
That's interesting because I went out for a run around 5:30 this morning, and it was fine. And about around 6:30, I went back outside again, and I was like, something's on fire.